Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Wednesday, May 20th. A story crossed my feed this week from Queensland, Australia, where a rancher named Christopher Reck invited engineers onto his property to tear down tidal gates that had been blocking seawater from his land for 60 years. Within months, juvenile barramundi, which are a type of bass, were swimming through the restored waterways. An invasive grass species that has been choking out mangroves was 80% dead. The salt water did what no intervention program could. It just came back and fixed things. This caught my attention because it's part of a pattern happening across the world that nobody's really talking about as a single trend. Governments and communities seem to be tearing down dams, ripping out highways, and dismantling infrastructure that previous generations spent fortunes building. And the results are consistently the same. The ecosystems recover faster than anyone predicted. Cities get healthier, and the most expensive things turn out to be the thing we already built. The most ambitious infrastructure project of the next 50 years might be undoing the infrastructure we built in the last 50. In 2024, four hydroelectric dams on the Klamath River in South Oregon and Northern California were removed. It was the largest dam removal in American history, a $500 million project that opened up 420 miles of habitat that had been blocked for over a century. The previous owner, PacifiCorp, agreed to remove the dams after determining it would be cheaper to tear them down than to upgrade them to meet current environmental standards. That's worth pausing on for a second. The utility did the math and concluded that the destruction was better than the investment. Obviously, I don't really like the way they came to that decision, but at least the results were immediate and very good. Because within 2 months of the final dam being breached, salmon were swimming past the former dam sites and reaching spawning grounds they hadn't accessed since 1918. By the one-year anniversary, scientists had counted over 7,700 Chinook salmon crossing the former Iron Gate dam site. Bald eagles returned, beaver, otter, and osprey populations visibly increased. Water temperatures normalized for the first time in decades because the reservoirs behind the dams had been artificially heating the water during spawning season. The river came back to life almost instantly, one fisheries director said. The Klamath wasn't the first. The Elwha River dams in Washington State were removed between 2012 and 2014. After nearly a century. Salmon returned within a month. A decade later, large numbers of fall Chinook are spawning in waters that had been blocked since the dams were built. In total, the United States removed 108 dams in 2024 alone, tying the record set in 2019. Over 2,000 dams have been removed in the U.S. in the past 3 decades. The pattern is the same every time. The dam was built trying to solve a real problem, flood control, irrigation, hydroelectric power, and it worked. But it also severed river ecosystems that had connected inland habitats to the ocean for thousands of years. Fish couldn't migrate, sediment couldn't flow, water temperatures changed, the secondary effects accumulated for decades. And when the dam comes down, the river doesn't need a restoration plan. It just needs to be left alone because the water does the rest. Cities are doing the same thing with roads. In 2003, Seoul tore down the Cheonggyecheon Expressway, an elevated highway that had buried a historic stream running through the center of the city. The highway had been built in 1968 as a symbol of economic modernization. By the early 2000s, it was a crumbling, congested eyesore that cut the city in half. The mayor, Lee Myung-bak, who later became president of South Korea, pushed the project through fierce opposition. Critics predicted traffic chaos. What happened instead was that traffic redistributed, public transit ridership increased, and the area around the restored stream became one of the most desirable corridors in the city. Property values along the stream increased by 300%. Species of fish, birds, and insects returned. Temperatures in the area dropped on an average of 5.6 degrees Fahrenheit compared to the surrounding city. The highways had been making Seoul hotter, louder, and less livable, and nobody noticed until it was gone. San Francisco removed the Embarcadero Freeway after the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake damaged it. The city could have rebuilt it, but instead, they replaced it with a boulevard, a public plaza, and a waterfront promenade. over 100 acres of land that had been dominated by the elevated highway opened up. The predicted traffic catastrophe didn't happen. Neither did it happen when Milwaukee removed the Park East Freeway, or when Portland removed Harbor Drive, or when Rochester tore out its Inner Loop Expressway. Rochester spent $22 million on removal and got $229 million in new development on the reclaimed land. The economics consistently favor removal over rebuilding. Maintaining a mile of urban freeway costs $500 million to $2 billion to rebuild and hundreds of thousands per lane mile every year afterward. Replacing it with a boulevard costs a fraction of that. The savings can go to transit, housing, parks. The infrastructure that was supposed to connect cities was actually dividing them, and the cost of keeping it was higher than the cost of tearing it down. There's a good contrarian question here. If removal works so well, why did we build all this stuff? The engineering wasn't wrong for its time. The Klamath Dams provided hydroelectric power to hundreds of thousands of homes. The expressway in South Korea moved traffic through a rapidly growing Seoul. The Embarcadero Freeway connected San Francisco's waterfront to Bay Bridge. The Queensland tidal gates protected cattle pasture from saltwater flooding. Each project solved a real problem with the best available technology and the best available understanding of how ecosystems worked. What changed was the understanding. When the Klamath Dams were built in the early 20th century, nobody tracked salmon migration patterns or measured the downstream effects of altered water temperatures. When urban freeways were built through American cities in 1950s and 60s, the dominant planning philosophy was that cars were the future and anything that slowed them down was an obstacle. The communities those highways displaced, overwhelmingly Black and low-income neighborhoods, were considered acceptable costs. When the tidal gates were installed in Queensland, mangrove ecosystems were treated as swamps to be drained, not as nurseries for fish and barriers against coastal erosion. The infrastructure was a bet that the benefits of control would outweigh the costs of disruption. For decades, the bet appeared to pay off. The power flowed, the cars moved, the pasture stayed dry. Then, the secondary effects arrived. Collapsed fisheries, fragmented cities, degraded coastlines, species loss. The costs were real, but they accumulated slowly over generations, and by the time they were visible, the infrastructure was already part of the landscape. Tearing it down felt radical even when the math clearly favored it. So that's the deeper lesson here. The most dangerous infrastructure isn't the kind that fails. It's the kind that works just well enough for just long enough that nobody questions whether it should still be there. Christopher Reck, the Queensland rancher, said it simply, "I stole from nature by using all my cows, and now it's time to give the land back and let nature do its thing." He spent 60 years benefiting from the tidal gates. Then he invited someone to tear them down. The barramundi came back within months. So if you're talking to some friends and want to share something new, here's what you can tell them. Across the world, communities are tearing down dams, ripping out highways, and removing barriers that previous generations spent fortunes building. The Klamath River in Oregon saw 7,700 salmon return within a year of its dams being removed. Seoul tore down an expressway and property values tripled. Rochester spent $22 million on highway removal and got $229 million in development. Queensland removed tidal gates and juvenile fish returned within months. The pattern is consistent. Ecosystems and cities recover faster than anyone expects when you remove the thing that was disrupting them. The infrastructure wasn't built by fools, because it did solve real problems with the knowledge available at the time. But what changed was the understanding of what it cost. The most expensive thing in the landscape is often the thing that's already there. So stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.